clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Rainbows high and deep into the end zone, and it is caught. Caught for a touchdown. A leaping touchdown catch.
Here he goes. He'll be chased, and he is gone. 97 yards. Oh, what a way to start.
Does he get both feet in right here at the end, Jim?
What are they going to roll it? He caught it? Touchdown! He did what?
He runs to the 50. He runs to the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
We are seeing another spectacular effort by Marino, who fires. Touchdown!
Oh, that's loose.
Allen steps up.
Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first.
Says a prayer.
Stop it!
Oh, please!
What a catch!
That's insane!
The game's final play is a Wilson lock to the end zone, which is fought for by Tate with Jennings simultaneous. Who has it? Who do they give it to?
I talked about a few other players that I could see stepping up. I think Nick Bolton is one of my favorite middle linebackers in the league right now. I think he sets a new career high with tackles, and he has 20-plus tackles as Detroit tries to attack up the middle. I see Nick Bolton playing with fire. His hair, his beautiful dreads on fire. 20-plus tackles, week one, new record for Nick Bolton. Yeah, okay. So I don't know how I did in terms of time. Oh, perfect.
All right, door closed. Okay, so I said, I got 30 seconds here. Okay, so I talked about Darren Waller being huge in this Giant offense. Darren Waller has more career seasons with 1,000 receiving yards than any other New York Giants tight ends combined. So I think that starts off this season, this Sunday night. I think he goes for 6-plus catches and 125-plus yards and one score.
Well, we don't need to listen to more of that.
Okay.
Welcome into Simultaneous Catch, folks. I'm Adam Jeffrey Rossi.
I'm Josh Lapping. I'm really, I'm tired, but I'm really excited to talk about this week of football right now.
Ooh, dude, so much.
All right, so let's recap the things we just talked about.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about mine. Yeah, we were both wrong.
Right.
I was fascinated watching this Chiefs game. So since then, since all this has happened, Chris Jones has come to his contract extension is 1 year or whatever, but he will be back. So this defensive piece that we talked about, all three are technically back. Nick Bosa got his. Brian Burns ended up playing.
Brian Burns
Chris
played,
Jones
played
is
awesome
back
too. Brian Burns is all over the field.
Was he?
Yes, he was.
Good for him. I didn't get to study the tape on that one. But I was really fascinated. Nick Bolton, so he had 7 tackles altogether, so not nearly anywhere near his career high. But I was really they obviously didn't play him as a defensive tackle, but they played him a lot more of being right there and then rushing the quarterback than I would have expected. Obviously trying to make they see him in a similar way as being that impact defender, but they're like, hey, we're missing our impact defender, so you need to do what he does. And I was really shocked by that.
He had a lot of pass rush snaps for them. And I'm about to say something that I hate when, like, an analyst do this, but they're like, we know that X quarterback does not like pressure. It's like, no quarterback likes pressure. We know that there are ones that are better at facing it than other ones, right? And so what I'm going to say is that Jared Goff struggles more than your average quarterback against pressure. So I think that they really did, along the lines of what you're saying, think we need to find a way to manufacture more pressure against him so that he doesn't kind of carve us up. And they decided to use Nick Bolton to do it. So I think that's why he probably didn't end up with as many tackles as he probably could have in that
there
game.
Were still,
they ran the ball a lot.
There were still a lot of plays I was really impressed about. I mean, even on I think it might have been the final drive when they did convert the fourth down. But on the third down run, like, Nick Bolton was there, and he's a small guy. I mean, he's 5'11", so he's small for a middle linebacker. But I just remember he, like, is holding on, like, trying to pull, I believe it was Montgomery, back. And I was like, okay, like, there's the defender I thought we'd see. I just thought they'd be more in the middle instead of
sending him up.
Yeah,
he didn't have a bad game. He just didn't have the game that he thought.
All right, let's talk about
my player did
let's
have
talk
bad
about
game.
Those. Well,
three
I mean,
catches, 36 yards.
I don't think that's necessarily indicative of Darren Waller.
Yeah, I think that obviously, you're going to hear this a lot on the episode, folks. Week one is the biggest overreaction week of the entire season.
I like talking
because
about overreactions.
There's so much that we thought was true heading in, and then week one sort of flips all those narratives on its head, and some of them end up staying on that side, but a lot of them also end up sort of meeting in the middle of what our expectations were versus what happened week one, right? So I don't think that the Giants are that bad, right? And I think that Darren Waller will be very good for them.
I do want to bring this up, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this. This is from The Athletic. No team has ever lost 40-0 or worse, lost the sack battle 7-0 or worse, lost the turnover battle 3-0 or worse, had a blocked field goal, returned for a touchdown, and threw a pick six.
Is this the
in the same season? Yeah. The Giants had it all happen in one game.
So
that's nuts.
I remember seeing that and reading it and thinking, oh, here we go. Here's another one of those silly stats where it's like, nobody has X, Y, B, C, subcategory D, A, and B
happen
in the same game. But to say that for like in the season and it happened in the game, now that is crazy.
It's nuts.
The Dallas defense is the best defense in the NFL. And we both talked about it heading into the year. We both have them going to the Super Bowl. And a large part is because their defense is awesome. I just did not expect it to be that crazy week one. And Mike, our Dallas correspondent, warned me when he heard that I picked the Giants. He was like, I'm sorry, buddy, but you're wrong. Dallas -9.5 is the best bet all week, and you should take it right now. And I didn't listen to him, and I was wrong. And now, listen, I think that a lot of the wrong things are going to be taken out of this game. Dallas certainly looked awesome, but I really think that there are a ton of games in the NFL, this one being included, that, you know, the Giants marched right down the field, looked awesome on the script, and the field goal is blocked, touchdown Dallas. Woo, gut punch immediately. And in the second possession, turnover, touchdown Dallas. At that point, it's 16-0, and it's really kind of like, we need to just like hang on for our lives here, and it just got out of hand. And I think that so many games, especially in the NFL, get out of hand really quick, and there's just no coming back from it. I know that we're in the era of the comeback, but I do think that sometimes you get games like this where it's just too hard to come back from. I obviously still have Dallas going all the way to the Super Bowl this year, winning their division. So I still think they're very, very good. I don't think I think any differently than I did of Dallas before week one than I do now after week one. Do I have a little bit more concern for the Giants now? Absolutely. But I still think that they're going to be a good team.
I'll push back a little bit to say, yeah, I mean, obviously, when you win 40-0 and have all those great things happen, you played a really great game of football. But all those things collapsed, and I get that weather is always going to be a part of any team that's not a dome team, right? But after all those things compounded, that's when it became a monsoon, right? I think that needs to be talked about at least, because it's not like Dak threw for less than 150 yards. A little over 50% completion percentage. So both when it came down, like when the dirt hit the road, like neither team was like, we're just doing everything we want. Like Dallas was able to capitalize and have a blocked field goal, return for a touchdown, and then had a quick turnover. They turned into a touchdown. And then like, yeah, you got up, but it became a slot fest at that point. So
yeah, like, yeah, I mean, I'm still concerned. I'm concerned more than I was before week one for the Giants, but I also think it's just, I mean, it was not 2 years ago that Buffalo won like 40-0 against the Texans, and everybody was like, well, let's calm down about the Bills because it's just the Texans, and it was a sloppy game, and it got out of hand, and I agree for the most part. So 40-0 is still impressive no matter who you're playing against, right? But 40-0 doesn't happen in the NFL unless there's so a lot of factors happening. So I think we all need to wait and see what happens this week for both teams. Because now the Dallas Cowboys are going to face what I think is arguably the second best defense in the NFL, possibly the best, in the New York Jets in week two. And then the Giants get to play the Cardinals, who were surprisingly feisty.
They were feisty.
So there's a lot to be had there. But yeah, let's get into some rant, rave, recall. What you got week one, pal?
Yeah, so I'm going to rant. I don't think I really feel like that strongly about this, but The story came out about Caleb Williams and his dad talking about, you know, like, we don't need to settle for whatever situation. It's really backwards that the worst team, they go and has the first pick. And, like, no, none of it is backwards, first of all. like, this is how it's supposed to be, and that's why it is set up that way. So players go there to improve the organization, right? You're not going to have the best teams, unless you're the Eagles somehow, get the top picks. Like, that's just not how it works. And mostly, and I know Caleb Williams didn't really say this, it was more his dad, so maybe, like, there's, like, a LeVar Ball thing going on here or whatnot. But I was like, your son is so special, but your son is not more special than anybody that's been through this process ever. You know, everybody has gone this. To be talked about as the first overall pick, that is an honor and that is a blessing for so many people. Don't be like, it really depends on the situation. We have a couple of shots, so it's backwards and we're not going to have him tank his career and go, no, just stop. This is how it's supposed to be.
It's not free agency.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, I was too young during the whole Eli thing, so I don't really know how that worked. And obviously it worked out and the Chargers ended up getting Phillip Rivers and it was all okay and kumbaya, but like that just annoyed me to be like, that's the NFL is backwards. Like, no, it's not.
Yeah, I am more often than not on the side of players in these types of debates, but I'm with you on this one. I do think it's, I mean, it makes sense to want to go to a team that's good, right? It makes sense to want
of course.
To end up with a team that you're going to be good. Absolutely. But part of the profession of the NFL is you get drafted where you get drafted, and then at some point you get to enter free agency if you want, and then you get to choose your team, right? Like that's how the NFL works. It's how it's always worked. And it's not like, I really don't think it's like we're taking away things from players. You're not taking away, you know, people's autonomy. This is part of the game, right? Like, you don't have to declare for the NFL draft if you don't want to, right?
I mean, well, and that's what they threatened not to do. But the thing that bothered me mostly was talking about high-end talent. And this isn't meant to – this is not attacking anybody. But they were like, look, like Baker went and he went to a bad organization. It ruined his career. And I can't remember. There was one other example. Sure, but that doesn't – it doesn't work out for everybody.
That's also a horrible example because he ended up turning them around and winning a playoff game for them for the first time in ages, right?
And that's just
a bad example.
I mean, I think they're all bad examples, but I mean, like, you as a player, that's what they talk about. You are the building block. You're the cornerstone. So maybe, like, yeah, you have a bad rookie season, but if you don't believe in yourself to be down the road, like, yeah, like, I can be this franchise guy. That's on you. That's not on the organization.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I can only think of maybe a couple of real instances where a player landed truly stopped them from being able to be their best. 99 out of 100 times, 98 maybe, the player will transcend where they are, right?
Or
they will see them in a bad scenario, and then they'll end up finding a better one and turn around and be good. You know what I mean?
Or the other scenario, which is a thing, is that the player just is a college player, you know?
Yeah. And I think part of it is, you know, there's a college football mindset of, like, recruitment, right? So the best recruiter should get the player, and, that's what college football is. The NFL is different. So I'm with you.
It bothered me.
I'm going to rave a little bit here. I'm going to rave about the LA Rams.
Shout out.
Yeah, so we talked about them a little bit where I mentioned at the middle to end of the episode last week, I said, you know, I don't understand why everybody is just automatically assuming they're going to be a tank for Caleb Williams' team. They have Stafford coming back. They did it purposely. They had teams, including the Jets, right, that reached out in the offseason inquiring about the availability of a Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
And Sean McVay in this front office said, no, we are going to run it back. And most of their guys are back. Of course, Cooper Kupp was hurt. But Matt Stafford came out 24 of 38, 334 yards. This rookie, Puka Nacua, came out 10 for 119.
He crushed
Tutu Atwell was 6 for 119. I mean, what's hilarious is Cam Akers actually looked awful. It was like 22 carries for 25 yards or something like that and a touchdown.
That bad?
Yes, it was. It was 20 carries for like 20 or 30 yards and a touchdown, I swear. And then Kyron Williams, their other running back, had 2 touchdowns.
Played well, I think.
But they genuinely, like, they came out to play. And I really want to give props to Stafford, to this Puka Nacua, to Tutu Atwell, and to Sean McVay. They really dialed it up against Seattle. Now, Seattle lost Charles Cross early in the game. They lost Tyler Lockett early in the game. So they were banged up, obviously, immediately. But the Rams came out, and who's to say where they end up by the end of the season, right? But I never really thought that they were going to just try to tank it, and I think they definitely put that to bed immediately. Said, we're not trying to tank the season. We still have a lot of the players that got us all the way a couple years ago. We're going to play, and I like that.
Yeah, that's a great shout-out, because I wouldn't have come on here to really – I mean, like, obviously, I thought this would be a Seattle win. I didn't know what to expect out of L.A., but I was like, yeah, Seattle will do well. I know you talked about those injuries, but I'll throw it back to you real quick while we're talking about this before we talk about the other games that we have on the agenda. Is this a bigger indictment for the Rams or on the Seahawks?
If you're asking me, so it's a little bit of both, but you're asking me which one's bigger. I think it's more good Rams than bad Seahawks. Personally.
Okay, so you don't think the Seahawks are a 13 point a game?
No, I do. I am concerned about the fact that they're going to be missing their tackle most likely. I know Lockett was also banged up. We know that their rookie Smith and Jigba has been banged up. So I am a little bit concerned about Seattle. I don't have them making the playoffs. I didn't in our predictions, right?
Yeah.
But I don't see them as like a we can only score 13 points a week kind of team. I think that the Rams are just better than we – I say we, but better than the majority of the media thought they were going to be. And I think that they're going to be a tough team to beat. You're going to have to earn it.
The Seahawks, as of today – brought in the old reliable of offensive linemen.
Was it Jason Peters? Is that who he was?
Jason Peters, yeah.
41 years old, Jason Peters. I think it's crazy, but good. I mean, yeah, they believe that they're a contender, right? They want to do the best they can by.
Yeah, Jamie, that's so. That was a game I did not expect. So I'm glad that you shouted that
one
out.
I forgot that it was on. I was during the afternoon games. I was flipping between all the other ones because there was so much excitement happening in those. And then I saw it cut to a highlight of Tutu Atwell, and I was like, oh, that's right. The Rams are playing right now. So anyway, let's get to some news and notes. Obviously, the big news and notes this week is two major injuries and then one little update. But the first one is J.K. Dobbins. And
this makes me sad.
I hate to set this up doom and gloom, but is J.K. Dobbins' career just over at like 25, 26 years old?
Yeah, I don't know about over, but like I don't think he'll ever be the bell cow that we were excited about him coming out of Ohio State.
I mean, and one step further than that, he looked like it to start the game. He had an awesome touchdown where, you know, it was a little pitch play and he cut to the outside, dove into the end zone. It was super exciting. It was like, here we go. This is finally the J.K. Dobbins that a lot of people believed, including myself, that he was going to be when he was finally fully the bell cow. And just, it's gut-wrenching.
Is this 3 years in a row?
So it's 2 years in a row for
I know
this
it's definitely
type
two.
Of injury. I think that he was banged up and like in and out of the lineup 3 years ago.
Yeah,
his rookie year he came back from an injury because he didn't start the season, and then he finished really strong, and then we were excited for year two, and I think year two he was mostly there, but he had a couple games here and
but
there.
I know
where
he did get banged up because it was the Buffalo game.
Yes,
that like he came back, we're like, okay,
yeah.
JK, like he's got that step
good.
Back
yeah. So
man,
yes, it is now 2 years.
That does stink.
Which is terrible. So I think I was listening to the Fantasy Footballers on Monday, and they were talking about, you know, this may not be the end for, you know, JK the football player, but this is the end for JK the first, second round pick in your fantasy league, bell cow guy. You're like, he may eventually become like a veteran minimum kind of player that signs and then, you know, makes a game day impact, right? But not one that's like, you know, here's our guy, you know.
Yeah,
which is sad, you know, but
that's
Gus Edwards and Justice Hill. Better get them on your waiver wire.
Well, they, you know, they've been here plenty of times.
Yeah,
been here plenty of times the last handful of years.
Quick little thing about Aaron Jones, who looked awesome for the Packers last week, and the Packers looked awesome. I think he's gonna be okay. They said he did pull up a little bit on the hamstring. I do think that he's a very important thing to that offense. I know that they have A.J. Dillon. I don't think Dillon actually looked that great in his attempts.
He didn't.
On Sunday. That's not to say that that's like who he's going to be, you know. But I thought that offense with everything sort of going, even without Christian Watson, was very impressive. So I would be concerned if Jones were out for an extended period of time. It looks like maybe he just got a tweak in his in his leg, and it's going to be okay, knock on wood, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I obviously am not any of those trainers or the player or anything of that. I really think that if the Packers didn't have the game in hand, that Jones be like, I'm going back out.
Yeah, did you see the clip of him with the sky cam?
Yes,
he's like,
wait, yes.
I'm gonna make it. Yeah, so at least seemed like he was okay. So, but I just wanted to quick about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Jones made the Packers offense go.
He was great. He was great. Although I will say, man, I really wanted that touchdown to the tight end. On that rollout play where Love threw it back and he was wide. And I don't know. It was Musgrave, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Musgrave who he's falling back and jumping. If he would have just turned around and
ran, but he was
under
down
it.
Like a two.
Oh, so impressive. Musgrave looked really good in his couple of moments. Let's talk about it.
Aaron
Rodgers. And then I do have Aaron Rodgers update will bleed into week one review for Bills Jets. So we'll start with Aaron Rodgers and then we'll kind of transition into the game that was Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't, and so many people, it's every show today. It's all they've talked about for the most. Get Up was two straight hours. It was an hour and a half of Aaron Rodgers and then 20 minutes about Buffalo and then 10 minutes about, other stuff starting for tomorrow. But it was mostly during the intro, Greeny stopped the intro. He's like, I can't do this, guys. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Officially out for the season. Officially going to be put on IR. There's reports that the Jets have reached out to some veteran free agents.
Oh, really?
Robert Saleh did say to reporters, Zach Wilson is our starter. So I think this is more just insurance. We need somebody in the veteran in the room. Right. But wow, I can't remember there being a more devastating injury for a team because their defense is
so
phenomenal.
The storyline, I mean, everyone is, I love that the NFL is playing into the script thing, but already talking about the script. But I mean, I have not in my 18 years of watching this sport seen something so hyped up, so storyline, so this is going to just work and change so quickly. There's been things where...
Four plays. He played four snaps.
Yeah, the Aaron Rodgers era in New York was 11 minutes.
I feel so, and the Jets are still going to be competitive. They were last year with Zach Wilson, right? They beat us last year with Zach Wilson in almost the same exact game, right? Save the overtime, right? It was almost the same exact way we lost last year where they forced all these crazy turnovers for us and then ended up beating us in the end, right? So they're still going to be competitive, but they're not Super Bowl contenders anymore because they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? And it's tough. And you want to root for Zach Wilson because now he's certainly an underdog, right? And you love rooting for the underdog. I know we both love that narrative. But somebody, if the NFL is scripted, the end of the game was beautifully scripted, right? for Jets fans and just exciting football. But for the season narrative, no, the script should have included Aaron Rodgers for the whole season.
I will say, obviously, I mean, I was looking forward to rooting for Rodgers. So it stinks, but I mean, this is a joke. I'm not glad that he tore his Achilles or anything of that nature. But I mean, what a final middle finger to the Packers.
Now they only get a second round pick.
I know. Ugh. Which could still, I mean, like, you're yeah, right. I mean, they will win games. But, that's not guaranteed to be a high round pick. And I know they didn't lose anything by doing it. But when you get that trade, you're like, oh, 65% of he's going to do that.
So I guess my question to you now is regarding Rodgers before we just sort of cover the game.
Yeah.
Is this it for Rodgers? Because this is the question people are asking now. Is it over? Because we know, I mean, Damian Woody on Get Up talked about, he said, I had this injury late in my career, and a month into rehab, I said, it's not worth it. I'm retiring, and just didn't come back. Because it is a really hard rehab process to come back from this type of soft tissue injury and not even, be the same that you were, right? But be able to step out on the field, especially for a guy who's going to be 40, 41 by the time he would come back and play for the Jets next year.
I don't know. This has been on my mind today. I didn't see it officially diagnosed until I got home. But I can see it going both ways, but I can't imagine that he's coming back. Like, I know Aaron Rodgers has such pride in himself that he'll be, he may think, like, that is not how I'm going out. I'm not going out. Because really, it would be the biggest stain on a career you could have, right? Your last pass as a Packer is an interception. Your one pass as a Jet is an incompletion. And then that, like, a man that has such pride in himself, I can see him being like, I'm not going off the football field like that. But yeah, I mean, he's 39. He's going to be 40 in 3 months, less than 3 months. So he wouldn't get on the football field again until he's in his late year 40. I don't know.
I will say this. If I had to put money on it, I would say he's not coming back, but I also would never put money against Aaron Rodgers doing something. So,
hot dog. You know, that was intense.
So let's get into the game a little bit. Were you able to watch
the whole game? Yeah, I did watch the game.
Okay, so why don't we start with your thoughts on the game?
I think I'm going to be probably more critical than you. I mean,
First of all, I want to say I'm nervous for this conversation. I've been literally for the last 24 hours in my head, what's Josh going to say? How am I going to respond to it? I'm really nervous. I don't want to fight about this.
In my opinion, I mean, like, I guess you could be really, I'm not like, this is awful, but I mean, the Jets defense, yes, of course. I think it's top tier. But I will say they did a great job at putting pressure on Allen. But the four turnovers were not crazy. They weren't like, oh my gosh, look at that. Like, yeah. Allen made bad plays.
He did.
On those plays.
Yeah, he did.
So, like, I get that the Jets defense is great. And they did a great job of rushing the passers that needed to make Allen uncomfortable. But really, I think the only one, and depends on how you think football philosophy and whatnot. The only one that I was like, oh my god, that was a great, great defensive play, was the third interception, which really the second one, because Diggs really swats at that ball, and for Jordan Whitehead to hold on to it, I was like, wow, that was impressive. But I mean, like, that was just, he just overshot Diggs. So, I mean, Buffalo, in my opinion, and not in any kind of negative way, Buffalo is what I think Buffalo is. They have a ferocious defense. They can get after anybody with their pass rushers and make them so uncomfortable.
I was very happy with how our pass rush was last night.
I mean, y'all have been that for years and years and years. I feel like there are, the secondary is still really good. There are a couple questions. I mean, like, there were a couple, like, holes that some wide receivers, but I mean, that will be less common, I think, than the norm. But I mean, like, they can be picked on from time to time, not regularly. And yeah, I mean, you saw both sides of the script, right? I mean, Josh Allen is the most confident, dominating player sometimes, but we'll go just as far as he doesn't make those plays.
Yeah, I really thought you were going to come on and be like, they can't do it. Josh Allen just can't do it.
Oh, I don't think that. I think that's foolish. Because
I don't think that either. I think it's silly to say that.
I mean, you saw now, him when he needed to. He drove him down to the field goal range.
We also saw the drive where he made the typical Josh Allen play where it's like just his toe.
Yeah, pretty nuts.
Like, you know, crazy good play. And like, so you try to rationalize it as a fan, right? Because, yeah, the first interception is 3rd and 8. Do I think he maybe could have actually run for the first down on that play? Yeah, I do. But, you know, it's an interception on, like, the 5-yard line. So,
oh, sure. The long punt is fine.
So I'm not, like, super worried about that. The second one is the most concerning one for me because he really just chucks it up into the air. And, like, I know there was pressure in his face, but Dalton Kincaid was open for 7 yards right over the middle. And I actually liked some of the things I saw out of him and how Dorsey used him.
Yeah.
And while I do think the out route, the last one, is just a bad decision, you're right. It's also a really good play by the D-back. Yeah, I mean, it would be foolish for me to be like, I'm not concerned at all.
Sure, sure, sure.
Because
he leads
the league in turnovers since he came in, right? But I'm not worried and I'm not panicked because we've seen in 2020, a full season of him not turning the ball over, and he was the runner-up MVP. We saw him finish the season in 2021, ending with the 13-second game, playing just as good as Patrick Mahomes to finish the season. And then we saw him start 2022 last year on that level, right? And now there are spurts of his career where he has these games. And I don't know how you get rid of them. I don't know if it's a matter of, I don't know if he's just Brett Favre, where it's like, you're going to get the awesome 4-5 touchdown games, but you're also going to get the 4-5 turnover games. And you just hope that one of these seasons, the streak of the good ones is what ends the year and you finally won the Super Bowl. Sure. Right. I don't know if that's what it is. And I respect that Allen never makes mistakes. I truly makes excuses.
I was about to be like,
he makes mistakes all the time. I respect that he never makes excuses. He always takes it on the chin and says, like, it's my fault. But I'm getting so tired of him sitting there.
I challenged you on that last year.
Saying that instead of actually doing differently.
Right.
Because also, this isn't new. He struggles against the Jets. They've now beaten us 3 out of the last 4 times because they have Allen's number, right? I just said they beat us 2017 last year in the same game where Josh Allen had all these turnovers and was terrible and we couldn't do anything else and Zach Wilson took care of the ball and they won the game in the last second, right? That's what happened last year. Now, last year when that happened, we went on a 5-game win streak and he looked great and he fixed the things, right? But I'm also upset because we started the game doing what you should do against them. He was taking the easy throws. He started 8 of 9 for only like 60-70 yards.
Yeah.
He was taking the easy throw. He was picking up a couple first downs with his legs. And I was really like, obviously it was just a field goal and a field goal, but I was really, really like pleased with how he was just sort of taking what the defense was giving him. And I'm like, I know you, Josh. I know in your head right now you're like, you want the big play. You want to get to do the knockout punch. Now that Rodgers is out, you want to end it. But you don't have to do that. All you have to do is take care of it, and Zach Wilson will make a mistake, which he did, but then we ended up throwing it right back to them, right? So, yes, I am concerned. It is a concern for me going forward, especially against defenses that are really good, which we have more games this year against, right? But against the teams that don't have as crazy good defenses as this, I do think that we're going to be okay and still be one of those teams at the end of the season. There are people like Nick Wright being like, I told you he's not that great. He's not even really a top 10 quarterback. And I told you, I've been saying this all the time, all this stuff. Like there's people, I actually don't know if he said top 10, but like Chris Broussard on the show today was still saying he was like 5, 6, or 7. Allen was, and he was like, yeah, okay. So, like, whatever. I know that you got to do that for television. But it's concerning. Yeah, I don't want to go on and on and on, but it's concerning.
Yeah, I appreciate what you...
It's a bummer.
I appreciate what you said. I would flip it a little bit. You said that you are not worried or panicked.
Yeah, I'm concerned, but I'm not panicking.
I would say I'm worried, but I'm not panicked. It's week one. Obviously, there's 17 more weeks to go. But like you said, and I appreciate, and I challenged you on it, I believe it was last year, might have been 2 years ago, about how Josh Allen, he doesn't blame other people, but there's only so many times that you can go after the presser and be like, yeah, I played like dog bleep. Like, there's only so many times that you can do that.
And the thing that's so frustrating, and then we'll move on because I don't want to keep going on and on in this game, is that in the press conference, he said it's the same bleep, same play, or same place, different day. And then he was like, it just feels eerily similar to last year, and it's frustrating. And I'm like, it does. So, like, you were self-aware enough to know it's the same problems. So why can't in the moment you be self-aware enough to be like, I don't have to force this right now, right? It'd be one thing if it was like the Miami versus Charger game where it's a shootout and it's like last quarterback who gets it wins, right? Which actually wasn't the case because it was an awesome game. But it'd be one thing if you're in a shootout with Aaron Rodgers and it's like, I need to make a play here, and you're trying to do that. You didn't need to against Zach Wilson.
Sure.
You just didn't. So regardless, we'll certainly follow it as we keep going, and I'll be very hopeful for a turnaround next week.
Well, there we go. Your competition's in our town.
They're 10 minutes away, so I think we could take a little trip up there to check it out.
I want to say real fast to wrap up this game. I mean, I get everybody's talking about the would-be potential missed penalty on the punt return, but I have to give a shout out to Xavier Gibson. I know you watched more Hard Knocks than I did, but I think it's special when they said you're a Jet, he said you're gonna do something special for us. And what in your first game happens?
That's the script writing moment. That's the script writing moment. I mean, obviously there obviously was a clipping penalty, but like, they're right in field goal range anyway, even with the penalty. So it's like, that's, you know, That's a desperate attempt to. I will say I'm a little annoyed by people being like this. Oh, this is a poor effort by the punter here. Like in the when you play it in slow mo, it looks terrible. I don't know if you've seen this.
Yes,
but like he's running to cut him off, and when Xavier starts to cut back, he tries to stop himself and make the tackle. He's a punter. He's unathletic, so it looks awkward. But it wasn't like he was like, "No, I'm not going to tackle you."
I definitely understand the. The comment about lack of effort and whatnot.
Yeah.
I'll say two things about this. They're kind of contrary, if you will. One, we will never be out there and know what it's like to have an NFL player running at his full speed. We'll never know what that is. Not only the player running, but you have other guys running and trying to hit you out of their way. That's scary as heck. But I will say, I've also seen you dive for a pan at a restaurant job that was falling off a ledge. So I know what it is to like give effort when you really, really need to. So I see both sides. So yeah, I don't know.
Sure, but I physically needed to dive for it to get it, whereas in another scenario you just like slyly put your hand out and caught something falling.
Well,
so.
we're different people, yeah. You and I.
Let's chat real quick about Chiefs Lions, the opener. We kind of discussed it, you know, briefly.
I've come down since the week.
Yeah,
so I'm not as fired up anymore.
Yeah, it's okay. I think that this is another one of those two things can be said games where we can point out that two of the best three players for the Chiefs were not there and that every player had a dropped pass.
Mike Tirico took a lot of fire for that.
we can point that out for sure. But we can also be impressed with how the Lions played, right? Because they made some really nice I was going to say plays but I wanted to find a different word because I just said plays three times in the prior sentence. There was a lot of good from the Lions. Like the fake punt right off the bat, I love that. It was a carryover from last year, like this last game of the year against the Packers. They threw everything against the wall to beat the Packers, right? Because they were like, this is who we are. We're going to win this game. It doesn't matter if it means playoffs or not from us, right? And I think it was a carryover where Campbell was like, okay, if we just play like that, maybe that's who we are, right? That's our identity. We go for it, right? And it's weird that at the end of the game, they got a little scared and they weren't going for a couple of ones that were short. But they did that, and then they marched on a 14-play, 91-yard drive, touchdown, right? And I think that those are the types of drives that they can do consistently this year with Goff making the right throws, a couple of receivers making a couple of plays. The Josh Reynolds play was really exciting. And sprinkling in, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs, who looked electric on a lot of plays. And then, you know, David Montgomery, who was pretty solid on the goal line, had two touchdowns. So I think that this team is very good right now. And then we'll see what they are even when they get Jameson Williams back too. So I think there's a give and a take with this team. I think we can be very excited for the Lions' future. And then also know Casey's probably going to be fine because now they're going to have Kelsey and Jones back next week.
The thing I want to say about this game, and I am in the camp that Kansas City lost, Detroit didn't win. But I will say this. We saw a lot more resiliency out of Detroit than we would have. In years past, this is a game they lose. When Kansas City goes up 20-14, and I can't remember if they forced a punt because they didn't have a turnover, I don't believe. But I remember seeing Campbell on the sideline being like, that's it. Like, the Lions know they've lost. And I think in years past, they're like, yeah, like we came out and we did our best. We played pretty well, but we lost. And that's not what happened with this team. And I will give them credit for that. It's the defense is much improved. Last year, they ended on their hot streak. Their defense turned. They continued. They added pieces. It wasn't perfect. There were still a lot of holes that if the wide receivers just took advantage, that it would be a lot different. We wouldn't be talking about this result. So but they have come a long way. And it is the Dan Campbell philosophy that it may be weird saying because they did end on such a scoring hot streak. They may not score 40 points, but they're never going to give up. And I respect that.
And we saw that. And we saw that for sure. And yes, of course, Tony makes one of those catches on those last drives. Casey probably kicks a field goal and wins it, of course. But you're right. They didn't give up. And I said that too. In years past, they absolutely lose that game, and they didn't. And I think that's the thing that should be said. Now, they play Seattle in week two, so that'll be a huge game to monitor for both teams.
Which was like Detroit's first. I think they lost. Did they lose last year?
Yeah, it was a big shootout, and they didn't finish
the game. But it was – that was like – I feel like that was the first time we saw it.
We were like, whoa, this offense. Yeah. So it'll be a fun game to monitor. Let's talk about Dolphins Chargers, man. Tua Tagovailoa.
Hot dang.
Listen, guys, I told you.
Yes, so when people are like offering you fantasy trades, you know who I'm talking about. Don't be like, oh, what's up? Yeah, the dude just threw for...
Oh, man. 466 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had a pick, right? But, you know, he was airing it out. And I do think that a lot of people are giving Tua his roses, right? I think that too many people are only focusing on Tyreek Hill, though, who was amazing, right? Was it 9 catches for 211 yards,
right? I
think
it was 11.
He was 11 catches, 211 yards. He was phenomenal, right? 211 yards isn't even half as many yards as Tua threw for, right?
Yeah.
So while he was a huge, massive part of that, Tua threw to everybody. And the passes that went to Hill, some of them obviously he was wide open on because Mike McDaniel is a great offensive mind and he schemed wide open plays, right? We get that. That happens. But Tua threw some dimes. I mean, he threw a 3rd-and-15 ball rolling out on the run, zipping it for a first down to Braxton Berrios. And then the one touchdown that took the lead when he stepped up in the pocket, threw it while climbing, just right in the bucket. The last touchdown to Hill, like unbelievable throw that falls right over the head of the corner on the play into Hill's hands, right? Yeah. So just like he was insanely good. On Sunday, and his odds for MVP are now he's the favorite, right? It's week one. No, I mean, obviously none of the other quarterbacks played good, right?
Oh, sure.
Mahomes wasn't really that impressive. Obviously a lot of it was drops. Burrow looked terrible. Allen looked terrible. Hurts didn't look that great.
Yeah, that's fair. Right?
So like all the quarterbacks looked bad, and
he's the only
one that looked amazing. But still, he looked amazing, right? And I think that it's telling, and I think that more of that we don't really have to talk about too a lot. But more to that point, we saw, again, the defensive head coach, and I've been defending Brandon Staley on this show. I can't defend him anymore. The defensive head coach can't get a stop when needed to, and the offensive head coach, his team got a stop when they needed it because Tua led the game-winning drive. I don't know if you were locked into this game or not, but Tua led the game-winning drive, and then Herbert on the next drive was sacked 3 times, game over. Dolphins win. So when the Dolphins needed the stops, their defense stood up and did it. And when the Chargers needed a stop, their defense couldn't do it.
So I was going to ask you this as a cold read, but we're talking about it now. How hot is Brandon Staley's seat?
Oh, it's hot now.
I mean, think about it. The last time you give up the huge playoff lead, you give up this.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's crazy to me, and I get it. I mean... they're not talked about because they don't win super consistently, right? And not just talking about the offense, but think about, oh, my goodness, Apple Watch talking to me. Just think about it. I mean, I get that these players are no longer the Madden 99s, if you will. But you got Khalil Mack. You got Joey Bosa. You got Derwin James. You got J.C. Jackson. You got Eric Kendricks. I mean, those are players all over the field.
And you're naming plays who made players who made plays on Sunday at times.
Sure, sure.
It's just that and this is why I think that his seat is hot to scolding now, because those players made the at times good individual plays, but they don't play as a unit. They don't play as a cohesive group to stop a good offense. They don't do that. And whose fault is that? The one that calls the plays and the one that sets up the scheme for the defense, the one that sets the tone, it's the coach, right? And so, again, I'm the Brandon Staley guy on the podcast, and I'm saying that do not be surprised if by week 7 it's Kellen Moore as the head coach of this team, interim, because their offense was really good, right?
Yeah.
Against the defense that I think is pretty good, right? The Dolphins. Their offense was very good. Obviously, Herbert didn't have gaudy numbers like Tua did, but that's because their ground game was very good. Eckler looked great. Joshua Kelly looked awesome. Eckler's a little
Something more they up. More really wanted but to implement they, more.
Yes, he, and it worked, right? Great. So I'm not going to be shocked if by the middle of the season he's the interim, but that still doesn't fix your defensive problems, right? So I don't know how they fix this. And again, it's week one, right? It could be week 10 and they could be 9-1 and we could be like, oh, well, I guess they figured it out, right? All this stuff is possible.
Sure.
But right now we are continuing a trend, right, that has already been occurring, and that's why the seat is hot. It's not just, oh, wow, that's a weird, like, their defense was bad. It's been bad his entire tenure, so the trend just continues week one. That's why it's concerning, and that's why he should be on the hot seat.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, surprising, baffling. Like, I just don't understand.
Which means that this time next year, he's going to be the defensive coordinator for a team, and they're going to have, like, a top five defense.
And maybe he will. Maybe he is that coach.
Yes, I think that we are very, very good as a duo, right? Because sometimes I'm wrong and sometimes you're wrong. But I think that on our podcast as a duo, I think we're really good at highlighting that some coaches just aren't head coaches. Some coaches are really, really good coordinators, and they should just do that, right? Yeah. It being a head coach is different, and I think that we do a good job at highlighting that. And that might be Brandon Staley. He's incredibly young, right? Bill Belichick was an incredible coordinator that flared out in Cleveland and then turned out to be one of the greatest of all time, right? So that's still possible for Brandon Staley, who's not even 40 yet, I don't think, or may have just turned 40. So his career is not over, but he may just be a coordinator, and that's fine, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Were there any other games that stuck out, or do we want to just kind of keep going?
The only other game that I want to talk about, just because, I mean, you kind of gave it a glimpse, and we don't have to talk about it a whole lot, but it's a team that I want to talk about, the Cardinals-Washington game real fast. 16-20 was the final score.
Almost got knocked out of my Survivor pool week one.
Again.
Somebody did pick Seattle in that pool, though. So
out?
Somebody got knocked out.
Okay, well.
Big in Seattle.
getting. I mean, yeah. You got to get rid of them.
Further than last year.
So maybe not so much. I guess I can ask the same question I asked you earlier. I mean, what says more about what team in this game? Because, I mean, everybody was saying the whole, like, oh, Arizona's absolutely tanking. They're not trying to win a single game. Washington's on the up and up, and they got this young quarterback that they're excited about. And I know that Chase Young didn't play, but they have this defense that can get after the quarterback, and they invested in the secondary and the draft and whatnot. But, I mean, yeah, like, these Cardinals, I know, like, when you look at stats and whatnot, it's not gaudy, it's not exciting, but, like, they showed bite.
They played hard for their they woke up with a fire in their
gut. They did not ride the bus.
But, see, I don't understand. Was he trying to say that riding the bus was the good thing or the bad thing? Like, I watched the clip 10 times and I still can't decide what's the bad way to go to work. I don't understand. I will say really quick, I just double checked the Survivor pool. The majority of us picked the Commander. So most of us were really sweating out.
Almost somebody could have won the week one.
And then a large group picked the Ravens. Three people picked Seattle, so they already got kicked out. And one person picked the Vikings, so they already got out. So four people were eliminated week one.
You know, I respect somebody being that confident in Seattle to be like, yeah, like the Rams won't.
I mean,
anything.
I do too. Like, again, I talked about it on the show. I do not understand that. But, yeah, I mean, props to Gannon. They played really hard. I actually do, as somebody who was really tuned into that game for most of the game, because when it was close early, I was like, oh no, what is happening here? So I watched a lot of that game. I don't think it was, like, there were times where Howell looked a little frantic, right? I think that he was kind of settling in.
Sure.
But the Cardinals played hard. I think it was a lot more Cardinals playing way better than we thought they were going to be than it was Commanders are really bad, right? So we'll see what happens as we continue. The Giants-Cardinals game is a really weird game this week, right? We hopefully learn a lot from that game. And the Commanders play Oh man, I the Commanders play Denver, so that'll be an interesting game as well. So there's a lot of matchups to learn more about both those teams heading into week two. But yeah, I mean, we made fun of Gannon. I will say, somebody that I follow on Twitter, I think it was Ben Solak of the Ringer. I can't remember, but he was like, "I really want the Cardinals to win just so that we can see what Jonathan Gannon does in a post game presser as the winner." But yeah, it's crazy. Dobbs looked serviceable, right? He didn't make mistakes.
He did okay.
James Conner looked strong. Hollywood Brown made a lot of plays.
Zach Ertz with 6 catches.
Yeah, I didn't know Zach Ertz was still alive. But yeah, that's crazy. All right.
Yeah, I just, when I saw that, I was like, wow.
Yeah, it was impressive. I watched it. They played tough. They played very tough. They were all over the place. All right, it is time for
Pals Picks.
Oh, yeah. If I did my math correctly, did we both go 1-2?
We both went 1-2.
Both 1-2.
If I was
tough games, man.
It was. If I was more petty than I am, I would get a t-shirt that said, "I'm not saying you're dumb." That's what I would get for today.
Why?
Because the one game I got was the one that you said, "I'm not saying you're dumb."
Okay, first of all, you don't act like your team blew out the Titans, okay? It was a one-point game that really Tennessee should have won.
I was told.
It took Ryan Tannehill throwing 3 interceptions for them to win by 1 point.
I was told last week the Titans would have their way on offense.
They should have.
And Derek Carr wouldn't do anything.
They should have had their way on offense. There were 2 touchdowns that Tannehill just completely missed, including the trick play where Henry's wide open down the line. I don't know what's going on with Ryan Tannehill, man, right? But I do know that I feel more confident about the Saints not being as good as a lot of people think they are because it took 3 interceptions from Ryan Tannehill for them to win by 1 point.
Is that
1 point?
I don't know if I think that we don't need to discuss this game. Yeah, it has nothing to do with Pals Picks. I don't know if that's an indicament on the Saints.
I do think it's an indictment on the Saints.
You said this was going to be the number 2 seed in the AFC.
I still think
you
that.
Believed it. Yeah. So you can't say Derek Carr threw for 300 yards. And yeah, the Saints have a great run defense.
Yeah.
They do. To be like, they kept them to 16 points. So? It took 3 interceptions. So?
That's what
I'm saying.
They're
a really good team.
I'm saying that if Tannehill doesn't throw 2 of those, the Titans probably win by 2 possessions.
Just because he throws an interception doesn't mean they score.
I don't know. One of them definitely meant that they would have scored.
They
Is
didn't.
It time for
they
Malik kicked, Willis?
They kicked 5 field goals. They weren't scoring when he wasn't turning it over.
I think they set an NFL record for week 1 for combined field goals in the game. It was kind of crazy.
All right. Anyways.
That's a little flashback Titans, to our live show.
Titans day. Will have their way on offense.
They should have. It's fine. Derrick Henry looks pretty good. I mean, that guy just keeps on chugging, man.
He did fine. He did what I said in week 1.
I really want to see them use Tajay Spears a lot more because he looked fun. I don't know if you watched any.
I did not watch. Okay. I had to listen to that one.
That's
spurtingly
okay.
On the radio.
That's okay.
All right. So you got to give the games first this week.
I sure did. I was very excited for games this week because there were a couple ones that I was afraid of. And like I said, normally my strategy is give you the ones that I really don't want to pick. So first one, the Broncos are hosting those Washington Commanders in week 2.
Yeah, so this I think should be maybe not an exciting game necessarily, but I think it'll be a fun game. So I'm looking forward to actually being able to sit down and watch it live and not read stats and watch highlights afterwards and recaps and all of that jazz. Similar to what you were just saying about the Titans, this really is a game that the Broncos should have won, missed extra points and bad kicking games and whatnot. I just feel more confident in the direction. And I get since week 1, we don't really get full pictures of directions right now. I liked, based on a 20-minute recap of a game, right? So I don't really know. But I liked more of what I saw from the Broncos than what I saw from Washington. So I'm going to go with the home team in that one.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, fair assessment. I don't know what to say. The Falcons hosting the Packers, two teams that won in vastly different ways, but two teams that had a little bit of dominant wins against their other teams. So
yeah, this one I think will also be fun. I thought you gave me a really nice slate here. I am going to go with the Packers on this one. for the reason that I really, really liked what I saw out of their defense. I really liked what I saw out of their defense, and they're only going to play a quarterback like Justin Fields one more time, where you're there and you have him, and he's so freaking wiggly and can get out of that stuff. So a quarterback that I know that Ritter isn't a statue, but he's not that. So I feel like if the Packers can keep putting that kind of pressure on, make it a little more uncomfortable. And I mean, the Falcons have a great run game. There's no denying that. But I think when push comes to shove and they need the quarterback to make a play, I think that defensive line will be able to capitalize.
Yeah, I think people are taking the wrong thing out of the Chicago-Green Bay game. Everybody's saying, same old Bears, Justin Fields not the guy, DJ Moore must be upset. I'm like, no, I really think that the Packers were just really good. I think the Bears are going to be decent this year still. I still think that they're going to be in a lot of tough games and play a lot of teams well. They're going to win a handful of games. I think the Packers are just that good. I know that I said that heading into the season, right? So I'm still just trying to find evidence to support what I already believed, right? But I do think people are being a little too hard on the Bears for that. So let's go to the last one. The Steelers hosting the Browns. Second of the Monday night, or first of the Monday night football games. I think it's the second one of the Monday night football doubleheader.
Yeah, why do they do this in week two now?
Yeah, it used to be week one, yeah, didn't it? Yeah, I mean, I like the doubleheader aspect. I think it's fun. But I also told you my controversial opinion that I prefer Monday night football to Sunday night football. But yeah, the Steelers hosting the Browns. I have no idea what to do with this game, which is why I tossed it to you.
Yeah, that is fair. That is definitely fair to do that. This is a hard game to pick, and I don't know. I don't feel good about picking it right now. But I mean, obviously that is what we do here. I'm going to go with my gut and say Cleveland. I don't like it, but I get TJ Watt. Hot dang. Amazing. And I get Christian McCaffrey is pretty freaking awesome, but when he runs for over, it was nearly a buck 20, and it wasn't like he did it on 26 carries. Nick Chubb coming in there, Cameron Hayward's out. They might just run all over this. And so I could see it being a long night. I will say nothing against Cleveland. I mean, you know, I will root for Pittsburgh, but I don't know if I see him doing it.
Yeah, I am interested to see the Cleveland defense in...
not a monsoon?
Yes, because they looked amazing, and I know that they have Joe Burrow's number. That's one of those matchups. That Burrow versus Cleveland is Allen versus the Jets, right? Sometimes there's just divisional opponents that get you, right? I want to see if their defense is as good as that, or in the same tier as that, right? I don't think they're that great, but I want to see if they're in that same echelon, right?
Sure.
So...
all right. I don't know. That could really work in Cleveland's favor. I don't know. They did look good on what I watched, but I mean, they only had technically two sacks. So I mean, if they have more control and footing, will they get there more often? It is a young offensive line.
Yeah, I really, and there was definitely pressure on Burrow, but it was just weird. I really think that there were a lot of, I think it was the weather. But we have to wait and see, which is why I'm excited for this
one. It should be a fun Monday game.
Recap, you went with the Broncos at home, the Packers on the road over the Falcons, and then you also have the Browns starting 2-0 going on the road on Monday night.
Did not see that. I did not see that happening. Didn't really forecast it. So I got to give you the game. So here we go. Let's go with those Bears. You said they're gonna be putting up a fight. And then a team that I was surprised by, maybe more surprised by Minnesota than Tampa, but Chicago heading down to Tampa.
Yeah, this was my most proud pick of the week because I don't know if anybody checked the pick 'em pool, but I did pick the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to beat the Minnesota Vikings. So I do think that the Bears are not going to be this terrible, awful team, but I'm trying a new strategy in Pals Picks. Instead of going with my heart and what I kind of wish would happen, I'm going to go with my head the whole way and let's just see what happens here. And I'm going to pick the Bucks because I think they're a better team. Right?
Okay.
I know that like the big story was that Tom Brady's gone, Baker Mayfield's in. So obviously they're going to be worse than they were last year, but there were a ton of injuries last year and they're healthy now. And I think that's why that spare a couple of really nice big plays from the Vikings, right? Jefferson had 150 yards. Addison had that really great touchdown. But despite a couple of those plays, this Tampa Bay defense was really good. And Baker Mayfield didn't make mistakes and made a handful of plays in key moments. And I think that that formula can lead them to a handful of wins this season, right? They're at home, I believe, right?
Yep, this is in Tampa.
Yeah, they're at home in Tampa. I think Mayfield. I think Baker Mayfield gets this team hyped.
I don't know. If they go 2-0, they might start calling it Mayfield.
I'm just saying that Baker Mayfield is a nightmare when you're losing, because he's just I think that he saps the life out of you. But when you're winning, Baker Mayfield's the coolest guy in town, and people will rally around that. So if I think that they huge win week one. I think this team is on the edge of believing, and if they go 2-0, this team could steamroll very fast, I think, because they've got players all over the field. They really do. So I don't understand why people thought they were going to be just terrible.
Yeah.
So
I go to all right, Bucks. Going with the home team. I will say, just speaking about that, going with my brain over my heart cost me 2 games this week. So we'll see.
I went with my heart on the Giants pick, and I was laughably wrong. I think Mike texted me in the second quarter and was like, "Can you imagine picking the Giants? Couldn't be me." And I was like, "Game's not over yet."
I've been a coach for 60 years.
Screw you, Rex Ryan. Anyway.
All right, game number two, Baltimore. And those new offensive wave Ravens without J.K. Dobbins taking on the hurt Joey B. Bengals.
Yeah, the big story for the Ravens was Zay Flowers was awesome. He really was. I know it was 9 catches. He didn't have 100 yards. It was 9 catches. But I can't remember the last player that Jackson has had a connection like that with and kept consistently going to successfully outside of Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews should be back for this game. So having him, Zay Flowers and Andrews on the same field, I really think that this offense is going to be really, really good. So I'm going with Baltimore to start 2-0. Bengals started 0-2 last year. They'll be fine, right? They're not going anywhere. But I do think that this will be one of those come down to the last moment type of games. I was right on a couple of those last week. I was wrong about the Giants. It's fine. But I do really like Zay Flowers in this offense. Beckham made one really long catch that was nice. I think that they'll be fine with Edwards and Justice Hill, and Melvin Gordon might be brought up. Their run game will be fine with that and with Lamar Jackson. I'm just more excited about Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews.
Cool. And then the last one that I gave you is San Fran heading out to those Rams. I will say real quick, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
I'm so proud of San Francisco, and I know that I think they're a powerhouse, but I was just so proud that after Patrick Peterson's like, they have a tell and I'm going to make an interception and I'll tell you that. And Brock's like, we'll see. And then he throws, not only does he not throw an interception, but he throws a touchdown on Patrick. I'm so proud.
Yeah, I was, I mean, it's week one, so who's to say, but week one doesn't look great for my Brock Purdy regression take. He looked awesome. McCaffrey looked amazing. The defense was phenomenal, because I still think Pittsburgh's a very good team, so to do that against a very good team in the Pittsburgh Steelers is impressive. So again, I'm going with my head. I think it'll be fun if the Rams won, but even when the Rams were better than the Niners still kind of had their number, so I think the Niners win this game.
That is,
it might be a better game than we all thought, you know, in the offseason, but I think go with your head, the Niners are one of the best teams right
that
now.
That is smart to say that Shanahan does have McVay's number.
He does. He does. So
for sure. All right. So you took the home team in Tampa going with the mind over the heart, the Baltimore Ravens, which I think probably is the mind and the heart, and then the brain over the heart with the San Francisco 49ers.
Should be exciting. 1-2 bounce picks. Let's see if we can get back to above 500.
We're crushing it. That's a good start.
All right, so I do have a cold read. My cold read is a test run for a new segment on the show.
Ooh, hot dang. Let's go.
I think I've told you this before. I've told some people who listen to the show before. When I was in college, I really wanted to do a podcast, and I wanted to call it Rossi's Rankings. And every episode, God, I would have a new person on.
Hate it already.
And I would just rank something random rankings every week, right?
Okay.
So instead of power rankings, I'm going to field test a new segment called Rossi's Rankings, where every week, if we like it, I'm going to give you my top 5 teams heading into the next week, and then you let me know when I'm wrong or what you would change, right?
All
right.
These are your top five teams heading into next week.
So again, this is based off of what happened last week, solely, right? Okay. So when we get to week two, it'll be based off of what happened in week one and two, okay. right? So based solely off of what happened in week one, at number five, I've got the Green Bay Packers. I really, really love how the Packers showed out. It started off a little bit slow for Jordan Love, but not in a making mistakes kind of way. In a, he was just playing it really safe, didn't want to make the mistakes, and then things started to open up, and it just avalanched. And their defense started to make plays. Quay Walker with an incredibly electric return. I really like the way they played. So Packers at five.
Okay.
Number four, I have the Philadelphia Eagles. I know that they started off really hot, and then it got a little bit nerve-wracking at the end for them, but I really think this is what I wanted to come on and say about the Bills had me pulled it out at the end. I wanted to be able to say great teams find a way to win those games. Brady and the Patriots did it all the time. They would have a terrible game offensively and then win it in the end, right? So Philly had a tough game, but they gutted it out against a pretty good team in the end. So I have Philly at four. Number three, I have the Miami Dolphins. The Tua hype is at a scorching temperature right now, and I don't see it slowing down anytime soon. I'm very excited for them. They're in the lead of the division right now, right? So it might be the Jets because they had the divisional record. Yeah. But regardless, love what Tua did. I think that their defense showed in the last possession that they're actually pretty good, even though they gave up 34 points to a very good team in the Chargers. So I have the Dolphins at three. Number two, I have the Dallas Cowboys. I know they won 40-0, so statistically they had the most impressive game. But I do want to take competition, right? I think that the Giants are good. I don't think that they're as good as the team that my number one team beat and the San Francisco 49ers. I think that the Steelers are a very good to great football team, and to dominate them the way that the San Francisco 49ers did against the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think is just slightly more impressive than 40-0 against the New York Giants. Only slightly. So don't come at me, Dallas fans. I already have you in the Super Bowl, okay? But only slightly. So I have Niners 1, Cowboys 2, Dolphins 3, Eagles 4, Packers 5, and the craziest thing about it is only one AFC team after week one when we talked about the powerhouse. So teams that obviously could very easily jump up include Kansas City, right, depending on how week two goes. But based off of week one, those are the Rossi rankings.
And I'm supposed to tell you what I would do with just these five.
Yeah, so you take those five and you, are there teams that you're like, I can't believe that they're not in your five? Or is it like, ooh.
No, I think it's really, really okay. Solid. I don't think my rankings are that different. And this is, I'm going based on what I think will happen in week two and narratives and everything. So I'm going to keep Green Bay at five. I think they'll win, but I don't know. I don't personally think Atlanta's a superstar team, so that would stick there. I agree with you, and I'll be the Cowboys' sacrificial lamb if that's what we need, because that's, you know, Dallas is great and passionate and wonderful. I'm going to have them at four because I think they'll win against New York. I think they should win against New York, but it won't be 40-0, and we will see some Dak mistakes. So that bumps it down to four for me. That slides the Eagles up to three, which, I mean, still super impressive. They didn't look all world, but I think Miami coming out, and I think Miami will be pretty hot against a team that made the Eagles look kind of pedestrian on offense. But Miami has had New England's number as of late, and I think being on prime time, if we see Tua, I don't think he's going to throw for 460 again, but if he throws for 300 and looks comfortable and the offensive line, that was the reason that made me switch my pick after Armstead was out. If they keep Tua clean again against this Bill Belichick line, that's great. And I think the 49ers, after what we saw from LA, if they come out and look similar, they deserve to stay at one.
Oh yeah, better than power rankings. Rossi's ranking.
Rossi's.
I really wanted to do like a mundane thing. So maybe in the future, I'll do like a non-football related thing and do Rossi rankings on potato products, something like that.
Potato products,
but that'd be fun. So that's my cold read.
All right, I like that. So I asked you the one earlier about Brandon Staley, which I appreciated because I think you're dead on. I have no idea how to feel about him right now. Out in the world. So I will, my question outside of Rodgers, I think that's the obvious answer, but we saw some important players that you just talked about, or we've talked about throughout this hour, of J.K. Dobbins and Cameron Hayward and just different players. I mean, we've seen how, and we know it. We know football is a very physical sport that anybody can get injured at any moment, right? But what team, outside of a quarterback, like I said, we had to take Rodgers out. What team is, like, if their player goes down, you're like, oh, well, there goes that.
So what, outside of quarterback, what team, like what player?
Yeah, I mean, like you could say player. I mean, I'll say my easy one, or I'll say not easy one because it didn't necessarily look that way on Sunday. But I mean, if Christian McCaffrey goes down, it's like, oh, like he's a huge part to that San Francisco offense.
That's a good one. I feel like that'd be one that I would say. Oh, interesting.
You can take a minute. I know. Like, this
That's tough. So part of me wanted to say like a Ja'Marr Chase for the Bengals, even though they looked terrible. Right. So it's hard to be like, oh, they were still bad with him, you know. Another part of me wants to say Stephon Diggs with Buffalo because he was really the only thing that was actually great on Monday night. I mean, nobody's going to talk about it because we lost, but he kind of made Sauce Gardner look a little silly at times in that
sometimes
game.
I don't know. James Cook was looking like a PPR monster.
There were a lot of things to be excited about. Cook looked good. I liked the way they were using Hardy out of the backfield. I liked the formations with Kincaid. And like, again, there was a lot to be excited about, so I'm excited for them going forward. But,
If that's not your answer, I feel like it's a great one.
What?
I think Stephon Diggs is the security blanket that makes it
go. Yeah, because when we needed it most on that last drive, he just locked in on Diggs. And even on the play where they gave him the push-off, that was like another play, which is silly because Gardner was pushing Diggs the whole game. They do that all the time, so it's whatever. But when they needed it most, Allen locked in on him and got it to him, right? So I do think that if Diggs went down, I would jump from worried to panicked very quick.
Okay.
For the Bills. So that'd probably be my answer.
That's but a good one.
McCaffrey's a very good one, I would probably say.
I mean, I feel like that's low hanging fruit. I wanted to throw you a ball. I think Diggs is really, I mean, Diggs is great because the comfortability and the connection between those two, which I mean, obviously you have other weapons, but not of that. I don't want to say that caliber. I think he's the most talented wide receiver.
We've talked about it with Rodgers and Adams. We've talked about it with players who have connections with other players, you know, Brady, Edelman. Diggs went over to Allen before that game tying field goal,
which was pretty.
And he was like,
a cool moment.
We're going to, like, it's fine. Like, lock in, right? And they did, and it worked. So, all right. That was Cold Reads. Now let's go to Fantasy Corner. Yeah, that was good.
I hated it.
We won week one. We have a good team, awful. Man. We got a good
team. Yeah, we did. We pulled it out. It got a little dicey for a quick second. But because of the Jets defense, we were okay. So, I like the depth. We talked about, because we did put in Noah Gray for Freiermuth, and you said the only way you feel bad about it is if Freiermuth catches an end zone catch, which is his only catch of the day. So technically, he was only a little bit better than Gray, so it wasn't detrimental. Nothing's detrimental when you win. It's okay. But I do feel good that we kept Dobbs. We talked about that over text, that we kept him versus, I don't even know how Adam Thielen did.
He didn't really do that much at all.
Oh, so
my computer's going to die soon.
I'm glad that we did that. So we will wrap up here in a minute. I will say, I mean, because this is only a 10-person league and everything, there are great names on the waiver wire.
So that was going to be my thing, is if you had only pick one guy as your top guy that you wanted to add for our team, who would it be? Because there's guys like Puka Nacua out there, Tutu Atwell. I believe Gus Edwards is probably on the waiver wire, right?
He is.
There's a lot of names here. So if you had to pick one guy for our team.
It's hard because I feel like we have a really well-rounded team. So it's not like, oh, we need a running back. So I think that, like, that's good, right? That means we have flexibility. I mean, I was so impressed by Puka Nacua. I don't know if I even said his name.
It's Puka Nacua, Nacua. And you mixed it with Tutu Atwell, yes. But it's fine.
I'm the Tutu guy.
Yeah, it's fine.
I like Tutu. I don't know if until I see it, I don't know if he's going to get 15 targets a week.
Yeah. My thing for Puka Nacua and why I would have him number one is that he played a lot on the outside where Tutu was almost exclusively out of the slot.
Sure.
And when Cooper Kupp comes back, Cooper plays the majority of his snaps from the slot still. And so when he comes in, he's going to slide into there. And I think there's still a space for Puka Nacua to play on the outside. So he would be my top add.
I think it's great.
I don't know who he would drop, though. Well, I don't think running back because we have – didn't we, wait, we don't have Mostert. Did we get Mostert?
We have yeah. – we drafted him.
We have Mostert. We still have Taylor on the pup, right? So we're correct. In a phenomenal position at running back. While I have no problem – putting in a claim for Puka to drop a player and then making our second claim Gus Edwards for a player, or even a guy like Chuba Hubbard, who actually got a lot of carries and a lot of touches in that game. There was another. Oh, and Joshua Kelly, I'm fine putting a claim for. Right, those are guys I'm fine having on our team. But I would put Puka Nacua first, personally.
I agree. So we have the flexibility right now of we don't need Noah Gray, I don't think. So we have the flexibility of using that. Because we added him, so he wasn't we drafted him, we weren't committed. Out of those players, I think I know what your answer is, because you talked about him to me via text, and you didn't do that to almost anybody this weekend while I was gone. But I know you were not happy with Gibson this week.
I was very, very disappointed with Gibson.
Now, do you feel like that's it's a one-off? Like, are you like, okay?
So here's the thing. I have a lot of stock in Gibson, so it's hard for me to give up on him week one. I don't know if that's a heart over head thing, though. So personally, I think we should put in a thing to drop Gray.
So we'll put Puka for Gray.
Yeah,
I don't think we'll get Puka.
Probably not. So we should put in another claim to also drop Gray to get that guy.
Would that be Williams? Would that be Kelly Edwards?
Williams? Who?
The Rams running back that actually looks good.
Is Gus Edwards not available? Because I'd rather have Gus Edwards.
Gus Edwards is available.
I would rather have Gus Edwards than Kyron Williams. I will say,
this is all just people's flavors and statistics and whatnot. A lot more people are going for Justice Hill over Gus Edwards. I don't know why, but that is a trend right now.
Justice Hill had two touchdowns.
Oh, okay.
But they were both... Like, I think he didn't have, like, almost any rushing yards, and he just happened to get two carries on the goal
line. Yes, it was 8 carries for 9 yards.
Yeah, so he was not that impressive. They just used him there. I still think Gus Edwards is the guy.
Man, there really are a lot of great players.
But if you don't want Edwards, I'm fine with Kyron Williams if you feel strongly more about him. He did look like the better running back in that offense that wants to run the ball.
Yeah, no, personally, I would go Edwards, and I think I would actually also go Joshua Kelly over Williams, personally.
Okay, yeah,
totally. So we will go...
Just do all three of those claims, because then if we don't get Edwards, then we can get Kelly. You know what I mean? Like, we at least get one of those guys for instead of Noah Gray, because we don't need him on our roster.
All right, there we have it. We're 1-0, gang. 1-0.
Well, 1-0. I feel great. So why don't we round out the episode with Friends Fortune? We were both 0-0. Did you go first last time?
I went first last time.
You went first last time, so I'll go first this time.
All right, here we go.
You set your timer, right?
Oh, am I supposed to do
that? Know when you're coming back in.
All right, I'm muting my mic.
Okay, so you'll set your timer for 30 seconds, and I will get mine ready to go, and we will start right now. Well, once the door closes. Okay, so I told Josh that I am concerned, but I am not worried yet. I think that Josh Allen is about to have a bounce-back game to end all bounce-back games. I think he's going to go for 300-plus 3 total touchdowns, and here's the bold part, 0 turnovers. Absolutely 0 massive mistakes from Josh Allen. Now, this also means, I'm saying turnovers, so if he fumbles and recovers, which he happens to do a couple times, it's hilarious, doesn't count. 0. 30 seconds, stop talking. Oh, yeah, that was perfect. Okay, so I'm going to get my clock, and as soon as the door closes, I'm going to start the timer, and I am ready to mute now.
All right. I'm embarrassed. That's not what I looked like. We do good impressions of each other. That was my Adam. 60 years! It's one of my favorite Adam things. I'm not even talking about my fortune. All right, everybody. I'm going to go to that Monday night football game. And, you know, I'm going to Cleveland. I talked about Nick Chubb. I'm really excited about him this week. He's the guy now. They don't have the secondary, so I know he caught more balls than he is the norm, if you will. I think Nick Chubb is going to go for 160-plus yards and a score against the division rival Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think Chubb is making his case for that running back.
Sick!
60 years.
Stupid. Or he said 40 years. I give you 34 seconds because I felt bad that you were upset last time with how short time I gave you. But 1% battery left. So thanks for living in the simultaneous catch, guys.
Why did your battery go so quickly?
Please, I don't know. Understand. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram and run your pool. It's hot. There's 20 teams in. I'm the leader right now.
By 3 games.
Thanks for listening to the show, guys. God bless.